Well, where do I start on that one? That's a long reading and much in there. So let us pray before I start. Abba Father, I just praise you and thank you that you will open our eyes so that we can see the wondrous things from your Torah this day. And may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be acceptable in your presence, because you, Yehovah, are my rock and my redeemer. It is you that has given me this word, and I just give you the glory for it in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Today, I'm speaking about the facts are not necessarily the truth about a situation. So if we could have the second the slides, please. Are they there? I'm going to go back to the very beginning, and seeing it's such a long time since we've read it, I'm going to reread it. So Bereshit, Genesis 18, 1-15. Yehovah appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance to the tent during the heat of the day. He raised his eyes and looked there in front of him stood three men. On seeing them, he ran to the tent door to meet them, prostrated himself on the ground and said, "My Lord, if I have found favour in your sight, please don't leave your servant. Please let me send for some water so that you can wash your feet, then rest under the tree, and I will bring a piece of bread. Now that you have come to your servant, refresh yourselves before going on." "Very well," they replied, "do what you have said." Next slide, please. Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, "Quickly, three measures of the best flour, knead it and make some cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a tender calf and gave it to the servant who hurried to prepare it. Then he took curds, milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it all before the men. And he stood by them under the tree as they ate. He said to them, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" She said, "There in the tent." He said, "I will certainly return to you around this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Sarah heard him from the entrance to the tent behind him. Next slide. Thank you. Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself, thinking, "I am old, so is my Lord. Am I to have pleasure again?" Yehovah said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and ask, 'Am I really going to bear a child when I am so old?' Is anything too hard for Yehovah? At the time set for it, at this season next year, I will return to you and Sarah will have a son." Sarah denied it, saying, "I didn't either laugh," because she was afraid. And he said, "Not so. You did laugh." Sometimes we do laugh when we're afraid. A lot of people laugh when we're afraid. You notice Sean calls himself Yitzhak. I wonder why. Because he laughs. How often do you notice him laughing during a message? Yitzhak sits... suits him to a T. And most people would agree that there are two kinds of laughter. There is a nervous kind of laughter that shields and covers our pain and our denial of our problems. And sometimes people laugh that laugh to keep themselves from crying. And there is, some might be in a, there might be some listening in at the moment to this service who are laughing about when asked about certain things, and a nervous kind of laugh to keep them from crying comes out. You are trying to hide your pain and cover it from everyone else by laughing. But when you do that, you're actually hurting yourself. There is also a laugh of real joy, of a fulfilled promise. This is a different kind of laugh. And There are both of these laughs in Scripture, which we read today. Avraham and Yehovah are together. Avraham has been promised so many things from Yah. Why? Well, we learned that last week, that Avraham has been walking in obedience to Yehovah. But up to this time, and in spite of the promises from Yah, there is still no evidence of a promised son. Now, last week, Avraham went ahead of Yah with Hagar, the Egyptian slave girl, and they had Ishmael. That only caused problems. It didn't cause anything good to happen, because Avraham and Sarah went ahead of Yah. We have to wait for his perfect timing. And his timing's not our timing. Can we go to the next slide, please? In verses 9 to 12 it says, they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" He said, "They're in the tent." He said, "I'll certainly return to you around this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Sarah heard from the entrance to the tent behind him. And Avraham and Sarah were old. These are the facts. They were old. They were beyond childbearing age. Sarah was past the age of childbearing. It says that. So Sarah laughed to herself, thinking, "I am old, and so is my Lord. Am I to have pleasure again?" So I want to look at verse 11 more closely. Verse 11 lists the facts. Both Avraham and Sarah were old. And verse 10 has already spoken the truth about the matter. It says, "Yeah, I will certainly return to you this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." So we've got facts and we've got truth. All right, and this is what my emphasis is on today. The facts are not always the same as the truth when it comes to the power of Yehovah. We in the Western civilization are used to practical thinking. We have to reason everything out. We are used to getting all the information in and stacking all the facts up and then making our decision about what we think the truth might be. But we can't do that in this situation. In Bereshit chapter 18 verse 10, Yah speaks the truth first. The truth is they will have a son this time next year. And in verse 11, he lists the facts. So I'll read them again. He said, "I will certainly return to you around this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." The facts are, that's the truth. And of course, Sarah laughs. Might be inside herself, but she still laughs, and he knows it. Yehovah knows it. The facts are in verse 11. Avraham and Sarah were old and advanced in years. Sarah was past the age of childbearing. This is an instance where the truth and the facts are not the same. And this happens quite a bit in Scripture. It probably happens in our own life too, but we don't see it. We all have situations that we know what the facts are. For some of us, the facts are bad, but we actually need the truth. For some of us, the facts are awful. We still need the truth. For some of us, the facts are discouraging. We need the truth. The answer for some of us is to discover what that truth is. I want to present something revolutionary to the Western mindset that hopefully will literally change us. And that is, the facts about a situation, which was my heading today, is not necessarily the truth about a situation. For example, You can stack all the bills that you've got on the table that you can't pay and then say, the fact is, I'm going to go broke. No, the truth is not just the answer that you have arrived at after assessing the facts. The truth is not the answer to the stack of facts. Yeshua is the truth. Yeshua will get you out of that stack of bills that you think that you can't pay. And he will provide a way and it will come true. Can we go to Jochanan 1 verse 1 please? In the beginning was the Word was with Yehovah, and the Word was Yehovah. And in verse 14 of the same chapter, the Word became a human being and lived with us, and we saw his Shekinah, the Shekinah of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Yeshua is the Word. Yeshua is Yehovah, and Yeshua is the truth. In Jochanan 1:17 it says, for the Torah was given through Moshe, grace and truth came through Yeshua the Messiah. The truth only comes through Yeshua. Then we just stop looking at the facts, because we know that Yeshua is true and what he says is truth. In Jochanan 14 and verse 6, Yeshua says, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Yeshua is truth. Yeshua didn't say, come with me and we will look for the truth. He said, I am the truth. Yeshua didn't say that he would have to teach us the truth. He said, I am the truth. You don't have to get taught it. You don't have to look for it. You just look to Yeshua. The facts about a situation and the truth about a situation may be two different things. The reason I love the story about Sarah in Bereshit 18 is because Yah does not hide the facts that both Avraham and Sarah are too old to have kids. I wouldn't want to be having children at 90, let alone 99. It's not faith to deny the facts. Denying the facts does not result in faith. You do not have to deny the facts to believe Yah about some things, because the truth is in Yeshua. Yehovah told Avraham and Sarah the truth is in the next slide, 18:10, which I've given to you before. I will certainly return to you around this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. The facts are, verse 11, Avraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. The facts are Avraham and Sarah are too old, but the truth has already been spoken. Yeshayahu Isaiah 53 and verse 1 says, who believes our report? To whom is the arm of Yehovah revealed? And I'm going to answer that question. The Yah of Yehovah will be revealed to the one who will believe the report. The arm of Yehovah will be revealed to the one who will believe the truth. And the arm of Yehovah will be revealed to the one who will listen to the facts but will believe in the truth. If we believe Yehovah's report, he will show you his arm and you will see the truth. Moving into faith does not mean that you have to deny the facts. The facts may be that you have more bills stacked up on the table that you can pay. But the truth is, in But the truth is in Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You've just got to trust his word. The facts may be that the doctor may tell you that you have an incurable cancer or an incurable disease and have only 6 months to live. The truth is in Yeshayahu 53 verse 5. But he was wounded because of our crimes, crushed because of our sins. The disciplining that makes us whole fell on him, and by his bruises we are healed. We just have to claim it and believe it. The truth will also be found in the book of Yaakov in James, chapter 5, 14. It says, is someone among you ill? He should call for the elders of the congregation. They will pray for him, rub oil on him in the name of Yehovah. You don't have to deny the facts. The facts are there to believe the truth. The facts may be that your life might be a shambles or your marriage is in trouble. The truth is in Yochanan 10, verse 10. The thief comes only in order to steal, kill and destroy. I have come so that you may have life, life in its fullest measure. Amen. Yeshua has the answer to every fact that can destroy us, that can hinder us, that can discourage us. The answer is the truth. We have to speak the truth to the facts of our situation. In Bereshit 18 and verse 12, it says, Sarah laughed to herself, thinking, I am old, so is my Lord. Am I to have pleasure again? Sarah laughed to herself, and she thought, it was all here. But Yehovah knows our thoughts. He knows our inmost being. You can laugh to yourself, and no one else in the room will know it. Someone can tell you something that you think is stupid, and you could be looking at them right in the eye and laugh to yourself and think to yourself, how dumb is that? You don't say it, you think it. Sarah was laughing to herself. She actually heard what Yah said, but she stacked up what Yah had said against the facts of the matter and had a faith failure. Many of us have faith failures. We can't believe for our own healing. We can't believe for our own way of getting out of our financial mess. We can't believe that we can cope in a situation in a marriage. Sometimes knowing the facts will keep you from believing the truth. The facts may be that you made a mess out of your life, but the truth is that Yeshua died to save you. The fact may be that there is no way out for you, but the truth is Yah will make a way where there is no way. You can have a faith failure when you stack the facts against the truth and you choose to believe facts over truth. What appears to be may not be the truth at all. Lots of things can be said or appear to mean one thing and really mean something else. I'm a facts person. I've always been a facts person. Give me the facts. Okay? I need to know the facts. Before that, before there were true facts, but that wasn't what I wanted as an outcome. I needed the facts to show me where everything was, but I wasn't relying on the outcome. So I will always look to the word to see if I have a promise written regarding that area in my life, which is better than the facts. I don't know where I would be in my life without the word of Yah. I have relied on it so much for so many things. It was the only thing I could go to. Couldn't go to my sisters. Couldn't go to my parents. Wasn't a person that could ask questions. I had to research it for myself. And I would rather be blessed than broke, wouldn't you? If I'm going broke according to the facts of my bank statement, then I have to find me a promise that is the truth in Yehovah's word. It doesn't have anything to do with the facts. I just need the truth. We need to learn about the power of the truth. The facts don't have any power whatsoever. But there is power in the truth. As I said in Bereshit 12, Sarah laughed, thinking, I am old, so is my Lord. Thinking is a silent process. Let's read what she thought. After I am worn out and my master is old, now I'm going to have this pleasure? Impossible. Sarah is laughing a nervous laughter. It's a laughter of unbelief. Sarah is actually dying inside. You may be laughing today to try to cover something that you are all really dying about inside. Yah wants to turn that nervous laughter of unbelief into laughter and joy of a fulfilled promise. Sarah laughs to keep from crying, and she thought, after I'm worn out, my master is old, now I'm to have this pleasure? Can't happen. But in Bereshit 18:13, Yehovah says to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and ask, am I really going to bear a child when I'm so old? Wait a minute. Sarah laughed to herself and thought a thought. Sarah wasn't even in the conversation. She's in the tent. But Yah responds immediately to Sarah's silent laughter and thoughts. Let us go to Tehillim 94:11. Yehovah understands that people's thoughts are merely a puff of wind. In Messianic Jews, Hebrews 4:12, it says, see, the word of Yehovah is alive. It is at work and is sharper than a double-edged sword. It cuts right through to where the soul meets spirit and joints meet marrow, and it is quick to judge the inner reflections and attitudes of the heart. This can be a blessing or a curse. Yehovah knows our thoughts, and he knows our intentions. There are times when we've made such a mess out of things and made mistakes in our method, but Yah knows our intention. He knows the heart, its thoughts, and its intents. And this is one of the reasons that I've always asked at the end of each day for Yah to perfect my words and my thoughts, as he truly knows my intent and I need him to perfect them, as I'm not perfect and I never will be. But I want the best for everyone, as he wants all the best for his children. So I can say things that people can misinterpret. It's part of my ASD vocalization. It comes out. Can't help it. People misinterpret what I say. And so I have to ask Yah daily to perfect that for me so that I haven't hurt anybody. I don't mean to, but I know I can. If you are a Pharisee, that is going to be bad. You can dress like a believer, act like a believer, behave like a believer, but Yah knows the intentions of your heart. You can't fool him. But if you are a real believer and your methods turn out to be wrong, or you make a real, genuine mistake, Yah knows your heart, and he will perfect that for you. Your methods may be wrong, but your heart is pure. He knows your thoughts and your intentions. People really can't judge your intentions. They may think they know, but they really don't know, and therefore might misjudge you, and even though they're not supposed to judge you at all. It's not someone else's place to judge you. It's Yeshua's place to judge you. And we have to be careful that we don't allow others to judge us because of misintentions. They've taken the wrong way. In Bereshit, Genesis 18, 13 and 14, it says, Yehovah said to Avraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and ask, 'Am I really going to bear a child when I'm so old?' Is anything too hard for Yehovah? At the time set for it, at this season next year, I will return to you and Sarah will have a son." Nothing is too hard for Yah. Absolutely nothing. If it is in his plan and it is in his will. Sarah is responding in her thought life in unbelief. Yah's response to that thinking is by asking the question, "Is anything too hard for me?" Sarah had a faith failure because she looked at the facts. Kepha got out of the boat and walked on water because the truth was that Yeshua was out there inviting him to come in. The facts were there was a storm. And when Kepha got his eyes on the storm, he started to sink. It was only the truth that pulled him out. Yeshua is the truth. It was Yeshua that pulled him out and put him in the boat. When we get our eyes off the truth and place them on the facts, we too will sink. But we must get our eyes off the facts and place them on the truth, and especially on Yeshua. We don't need to deny the facts. I'm not asking you to do that. We take the facts about our life and we place them into the hands of the truth, into the hands of Yeshua. Bereshit 18:14 says, "Is anything too hard for Yehovah?" Nothing is. Yehovah was telling Abraham and Sarah that they could laugh if they wanted to, but next year at the appointed time, they would have a son. Yah was going to keep his word. Can we go to slide 13, please? In Bereshit 21:1-5, it says, "Yehovah remembered Sarah, and he said, and as he had said, and Yehovah did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah conceived and bore Avraham a son in his old age, at this very time Yah had said to him. Avraham called his son born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Yitzhak. Avraham circumcised his son Yitzhak when he was 8 days old, as Yehovah had ordered him to do. Avraham was 100 years old when his son Yitzhak, laughter, was born to him. Sarah said, 'Yehovah has given me good reason to laugh. Now everyone who hears about it will laugh with me.' And she said, 'Who would have said to Avraham that Sarah would nurse children? Nevertheless, I have borne him a son in his old age.'" And as I've said, Yitzhak means laughter. And this is the laughter of a fulfilled promise. Sarah is now laughing at her past dilemma. Sarah finally recognizes that in spite of her unbelief, Yehovah has brought forth his promises, as the scripture said in Bereshit 21:1. "And Yehovah remembered Sarah, as he said, and Yehovah did for Sarah what he had promised." You will all have times when the facts will rattle your faith. There is a loving sovereign Yah that knows the thoughts and intentions of your heart. And when Yah gives us the joy of a fulfilled promise, we who laugh last will laugh best. When our promise is delivered, we are going to laugh at the enemy. We are going to laugh at our calamity. We're going to laugh at our trouble. We can handle the facts because we will lay the truth on top of the facts and we will believe the truth. In Micah chapter 7 and verse 8, it says, "Enemies of mine, don't gloat over me, although I have fallen. I will rise, though I live in the dark. Yehovah is my light." The Elohim who knew Sarah's thoughts and intentions kept his promise, even though her faith failed, in Bereshit 21:1. That is the truth, regardless of the facts. Yehovah remembered Sarah as he had said, and Yehovah did for Sarah what he had promised. And in Yochanan 4:23-24, it says, "But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when the true worshippers will worship the Father spiritually and truly. For these are the kind of people that the Father wants worshipping him. Yehovah is spirit, and worshippers must worship him spiritually and truly. And that is why we are here today on Shabbat. Because we follow the truth of the scriptures and not the facts of the Christian worshippers." And the next slide in Yochanan 8:32, it says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Memorize this scripture. This scripture, stand on the true promises of Yah. And this scripture is the true promises of Yah. It doesn't matter what other people think of you. That's none of your business. They can think what they like. You know that you're standing on Yah's truth, and that's what's important. That's what's going to be credited to you as righteousness. And Acts 10:34-35, "Then Kepha addressed them and said, 'I now understand that Yehovah does not play favorites, but that whoever fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him, no matter what people they belong to.'" Kepha finally separates the facts from the truth. Do you? Can you separate the facts from the truth? I hope today that from what I've said, it will help you understand, no matter what situation you're in, no matter what situation comes up in your life, whether it be financial, spiritual, physical, whatever it might be, Yah knows the difference. And he is the truth. It's his truth that sets you free. And we've got Daryl here again today after another mishap through the week with his heart and ending up in hospital again. But he stands on Yah's word, and that's why he is here. Because he knows that the facts are just facts. But Yah knows the truth, and Yah has his hand on Daryl, and he brings him through it every time. And I'm sure that Daryl gives Yah the glory, just as we give Yah the glory. So let us now go to the remembrance service and allow us to remember Yeshua, because without him we wouldn't be able to do what we are doing. We wouldn't be able to overcome what we overcome in life.